Wanted to touch back with an outreach worker from the Les Twentyman Foundation. Now, if you haven't heard of the Les Twentyman Foundation, they've been around for decades. They do really important frontline work on the streets, youth work, and have done so and predominantly in the western suburbs. Goomba Moore is an outreach youth worker who we touched base with only a few weeks ago. Goom, welcome back to the Conversation Hour.
Hi, Rochelle. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, mate, you must be so busy at the moment, and thank goodness we have people like you out there. Did it surprise you that this research has exposed that young people are the ones that are feeling the loneliness the loneliest at the moment?
Not quite. But first of all, I would like to say thanks for having me on the show, and more importantly, thanks to everyone in society and everyone in Australia for being brave and continuing to be resilient during this time, because it's been quite challenging for everyone. And I think for young people, I think there's always been a challenge of engaging and connecting with people and connecting with services and all the things that they have. And I think we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to connect people in at every level, at every age level also, purely because the human connection is what we really need at times like this.
So what can we do? I mean, if someone is young and we feel like that, you know, I mean, we might just take it as moodiness or young people just acting out in a way that teenagers do. How can we actually assist young people if we suspect that they're lonely?
I think it's being able to listen and just kind of waiting, not waiting for your turn to speak, but really listening and taking on board what the young people are trying to say, or the cues, and trying to read between the lines of what, if they're not talking to you, what are some of the things that are happening, and trying to have an open conversation with those young people in need. And I think it's just, we need to try to be a little bit more open-minded and act and validate those young people and how they feel or how they're acting, and reach out for support, because there's a lot of supports out there. But I think we need, as our support services, we need to be out there more. But I think families and us in the media, and people like you, Rochelle, in the media, need to reach out and do what you're doing right now, and showing that there's a lot of support there for young people, there's a lot of support there for families, and we need to tap into that, and we need to be there to support that young person and that family.
And how much of it, Goom, do you think depends on your personal or individual circumstances? So yourself, for example, you came to Australia from South Sudan. Were there periods where you felt disconnected, that you felt lonely, that you didn't have, you know, your tribe and people that you could go to and you could turn to? Do we need to really sort of look at those social connections and how people are finding their place when they come to Australia?
I think so. I think as a migrant, when I first arrived, it was quite difficult for me and my family, because there was no one to connect to, and we didn't know anyone here. And there was also the language barrier of not being able to speak directly to people, and also going to the fear factor of the fear of the unknown also, and the people on the other side looking at you the same. And I think over the years, there's been a lot of things that have been put in place to try and help support migrant or people that are coming from a refugee background. And there need to be more support put in that direction also, and making sure these people engage more and become part of our society immediately, instead of having to wait down the track or over the years. Hopefully they'll learn, or hopefully they'll engage with the community at a later stage. I think we all need to connect those people right away, and that goes to the wider community. There are people that have lived here forever. Third generation, fourth generation Australians that still don't find a way to connect to community. And I think we need to really, really work from a community-based level. And I think for me, like I said to you last time, I was lucky to run into a youth worker from the Les Twentyman Foundation named Jim Markowski, and I was able to be introduced into programs like a basketball program or our Embrace Leadership program that we work on, which is personal development for young people. And that tapped into me, and when I became part of the program, my family became part of the program. And I think we need to have programs that have a knock-on domino effect. And I think at the Les Twentyman Foundation, that's what we strive for, which is connecting community, connecting young people to families, connecting families to the immediate community, and hopefully that domino effect flows on to everyone within our community.
As a youth worker, you would, and specialising and being a part of the front line in the western suburbs, a lot of the people that are in lockdown in the flats are people that you would work with and that would you would know quite well. How concerned are you about, I guess, the wider impact of the mental health on young people that are trapped in there at the moment, that are feeling like they're not getting the right information, you know, they look out their window, which is their only kind of small outlook into life as we know it at the moment, and they see nothing but ambulances and police circling, how they can't come in or out. What bigger impact is that going to have, do you think?
Well, huge. I currently have two young people that I'm working with in there, two clients, and I've been able to get a hold of one over the phone in the last couple of days. And it's shocking. It's really, really scary for them. And I think this whole thing is as extreme measure as we've had in this country. And those people, when all this happened, they were in shock and they couldn't believe and they were fearful and they just didn't know what to do. And as I was speaking to this young person, 16-year-old boy that I work with, he was just expressing to me how scared he was, how scared his family was, and the measure and how extreme the situation was, and the fact that they're still locked, that he feels like he's locked up, he feels like his family has been locked up. And I also try to sympathize and understand where the government is coming from, because we understand that this is actually a public health measure and we need to do everything to minimize the spread of coronavirus and making sure that the whole wider community is safe. But I also need to get people to understand like how this situation and it impacted that young person, how it impacted all their families and everyone else that's in that building. It was a really, really tough thing for them to take on. And we need to do more as a community to help these people post this. But I think the issues also lie from how they've always lived before this and how they're going to continue to live after this, because in that building, there's just too much going on, and we need to be able to look after them and look after other people within our communities that are living under similar circumstances to how they're living.
Gum, you raised such an interesting point, and it's actually the conversation we're going to be having tomorrow on the Conversation Hour, which is looking at social housing, a broader picture of social housing. Because I think for a lot of people, the realisation of what day-to-day life is like in social housing, in these huge tall towers, pre-COVID, that's where people, I guess, are getting new information, and they don't realise how crowded they are or what the standards are like and whether or not the lifts are working or are there any washing machines in the communal washing spaces. And, you know, it's highlighted a bigger issue beyond COVID-19, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's where we need to go back to a community-based working model where we try to connect with those immediate families right away and connect those families to the immediate school. Like we talked to you last time about how we have in-school youth workers. Those youth workers connect those families straight away with proper help. And if they need to be relocated and settle in a different place, we try to help with that. If we help them with the schools. And I think we also, like the police at the moment, like how the community always perceive police and what just happened over the weekend, I think that really shows that the community is going to continue to have that distrust with police. And I also sympathize with the police because they were just doing what they were instructed to do in a way, right? But also just we need to continue to build all of us and we need to continue to build to a level where we can all work on the same platform and we can all kind of just engage together and understand each other.
Are you worried it's a big step backwards? I know some of the flats in particular, there's been issues for years about racial profiling and problems between residents and local police in the Flemington area. A lot of that, you know, was discussed and bits of it resolved, initiatives put into place. But do you feel like this could potentially be a huge step backwards?
I reckon potentially, yes. But that's where I think we need to go back to working with the families and the community, the immediate community. It's been fantastic seeing how communities rally around these families and rally around all the families that are currently affected in there. And I think instead of us sitting down and just looking at it and being outraged, we also really need to look at it from a solution base and from a moving forward, like what can we do and how can we mold together and how can we all work from the same level and platform and of better understanding and how can we progress our society. And I think this hasn't really, really helped that. But this is also like a really, really good learning tool and a really, really good base to start from. Like if this situation come about again, hopefully we'll do it a little bit better. Hopefully we'll engage a little bit better.
Gorm, it's been really good to touch base with you again. Thanks so much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Gorm Marmor, he is an outreach youth worker with the Les Twentyman Foundation. You're on